Father, we thank you again for the time of fellowship. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. That we say, you know, how pleasant it is for brethren to get together in unity. Like the oil of anointing upon Aaron's head, strengthened with prayer, right to the tip of his garment. And there, the Lord commanded a blessing. When we are in unity, God will command a blessing. We one accord, and we thank God we had that blessing here to always be in one accord. We cannot but receive a blessing because God commanded it. So we thank you this morning. So we leave this morning, Lord, we command a blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of your name, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. As we read this morning, Lord, oh God, let it inspire again. Let our faith grow. That we say faith cometh by hearing the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and to give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. This morning, by the grace of God, just a subject. Sometimes we talk about some characters in the Bible. We can't just give our mouth off of them because they have crucial significance, you know. There are some characters in the Bible. Talk about them all the time, all because of divine providence in their ministry. And because they have at their type of the future for the elect of God. So this morning by God's grace, the translation of Elijah, you know, the translation of Elijah. Where, without telling all the background of his ministry, the great day had come now for Elijah. At last, when Elijah was to go up to heaven by a whirlwind, for the second time in history, a mortal man was to leave this world without dying. As Enoch had walked with God, we are told in Genesis 5:24, so had Elijah, you know, walked with God. And as God took Enoch, so he took Elijah. Why is God doing this? Why do you talk about them so often? It's so simple. In the divine plan, there was a purpose in the translation of these two men. In divine plan, God's divine plan, we're talking about them all the time. See, God has a divine plan for their, you know, why he translated them. They both type the saints who will be living at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the divine plan. That's why we talk about them all the time. The scripture shows that the faithful saints who are alive at the coming of the Lord will be cut off too, to meet him in the air. The Bible says, and thus, they never die too. So that's why, you know, the Bible put in the book of Genesis, the prophets and so on. And I want to read that it pertains to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the 16 to 17 verses. And because that is the hope of the church. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we see in his translation, he stops in different places as he passes on, and each place has a message to it, you know. So where we are, Elijah went before he translated that message, so that where he stopped, you know, he was at Giga when the word of the Lord came to him that the time of his departure was at hand. So he was at Giga at that time, and God's word come to him, like Paul said, the time of my departure is now, right? So God's word came to Elijah that the time of his departure was now. He was at Giga. 2 Kings 2:1. Let's read that, you know. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Giga. See that? Was in Giga when the word of God came to him. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thou still liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. So like I said, there is a message to every place where Elijah went on the way to the translation and so forth. So we know Bible, you know, Giga. What is Giga in the Bible really? There are many references to Giga in the Bible. Giga was the fourth camp of the Israelites after they crossed the Jordan into the Holy Land. When they crossed the Jordan to the Holy Land under Joshua, Giga was the first place they encamped at. Where is that in the Bible? Joshua chapter 5, the 19th verse. I read. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Giga, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, if you know the story, Joshua has commanded the elders of Israel, 12 of them, to pick the stones and so on from Jordan. Anyway, of Jordan, the Joshua pitched in Giga. That's where they encamped, you know. From there, they operated for some time. They will go back and forth. It was their base as they came out of Jordan to the Holy Land. It was their base. So, whatever office not to conduct, they will go and come back to Giga. So anyway, so it was the first encampment of Israel as they entered the Holy Land. So in a sense to us, spiritually talking, Giga relates to a new beginning in our spiritual life. Praise the Lord. It was a new beginning for the Israelites, you know. I mean, you just study to the Holy Land. There was a fourth encampment and so on. So it's a fourth beginning, spiritually speaking, to the believer. In Hebrew language, Giga means a circle. That's what it means in Hebrew. If you look at the Hebrew word for that, it's a circle. We have to learn a lesson from it. Like I said, every place he went before the translation, there was a message to it. So, Giga meaning a circle and so forth. One can go round and round in a circle and never get anywhere. It's possible, you know. I mean, like that. And that can be said of the spiritual progress of many Christians today. You know, they go round and round but never really go forward. Very, very sad situation, isn't it, you know? And this is even true of some who have had a call of God, or they have had a word of God, or a revelation of God in their life and so on, but they let down somehow and so on, want to go back to Babylon again, you know? They want to become as is in Zion. They call the word of the Lord, it's not always popularized, you know? They want to go to the masses, the great, you know, system and so on, emerge. You know, a comfortable gospel, if you want to call it a comfortable gospel, right? You know, so we want to be as easy in Zion, right? So, and they keep on going round and round, never to make any progress and so forth. So, anyway, but not Elisha. Elisha was not of this caliber at all. He had no intention of staying in Giga whatsoever, you know? So, and even we are admonished, you know? By the scripture in Hebrews 6:1. You know, I have to read that one too, you know. So those who want to stay in Giga and keep on going around and around and so on. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That is the will of God for his children. Praise the Lord. Yes. Go on to perfection, you see. And not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. See? And even back in the book of Hebrews, we are told that why are we going to be laying the foundation of the from dead works all over again? When the blood of Jesus Christ, in Hebrews 9:14, we are told to purge our conscience from dead works, right? To serve the living God. Why going right circle and things like that, you know? So we have to move forward. See? Don't forget that the Bible says that we are to, our target to be like unto him in all things, to be like Christ in everything, you know. So anyway, so we see, so we are encouraged out here. So anyway, so Giga doesn't, Elisha didn't want to say in Giga, he want to move forward and so on, you know, with Elisha. Then all they go to Bethel, right? And that's a message everywhere. So Giga means going round and round, the same doctrine, no matter what God does, when even God shall we do a new thing. You know, they still want to stay in the same old system and things like that. You can accommodate in India, you know. So that doesn't belong to Elijah's sin, does it? Anyway, so Elijah was going on with Elijah to Bethel. Anyway, to go on to Bethel, what does it mean to us? It's the first spiritual step of the believer, if you want to think that way. Going to Bethel is the first spiritual step of a believer. Number one, we know that in Bethel, was where Jacob received a vision of God, isn't it? A ladder that reaches down from heaven to earth. And he saw angels, the angels of God, see? The first step, spiritual step of a believer. It's a type of it, you know. And that was in Genesis 28, verse 12. And he dreamed, meaning Jacob. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God, or angels of God, ascending and descending on it. There's more to Bethel. It was there at Bethel that Jacob made vows to God. See? Look at his vows in the 18th verse of that place. Made a vow to serve the Lord, right? At Bethel. So, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz, Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, I will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. See, and this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be God's house, and of all that thou shall give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. So vow to serve the Lord and so on. And the Lord brought it to pass. You know the story, 20 years later he came back and so on. And God blessed him. So those who go to Bethel are the spiritual members of the church. They are a type. Spiritual members of the church, the spiritual ones, go on to Bethel. Those who remain in Giga identify themselves as the nominal professors of religion, period. And they don't want to go forward. No matter what God shows, it's just God's talk, going on and on. But the spiritual ones, they go on to Bethel. The other people in Giga, they are heartily minded, like Esau, even Jacob's brother. He couldn't see the value of the birthright. He has no spiritual senses. That is to know the value of the birthright. I can sell it for a pot, a pot of porridge, But Jacob, predestinated, type of the elect of God and so on, He was able to know the value of the birthright. He bought it, took it, stole it, what the father steal it, and so on. Anyway, so we see right here. So at Giga, saw the king, showed his self-will. Became self-will, believing that sacrifice was better than obedience. All kinds of things about Giga and so on. In 1 Samuel 15:20, what I'm talking about, 1 Samuel 15:20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the Lord. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. See? All kind of things happening in Gilgal and so on, not a place to be really, And Samuel said said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. So right there in Giga, he was even lying. you know what the command of God gave him to to destroy everything Amalekite. But you know, he disobeyed God, self-will and so on in there. It happened at Gilgal. Anyway, Bethel, however, even not a stopping place for Elijah, not a stopping place. God does not want his people to stay at the same place where they began their experience. I know that before. God wants people to move on with the revelation of the Lord. Revelation is progressive. Praise God. He didn't give everything to the church at one time, you know. So, that's why he said we do a new thing and so on, that, you know, and by his word. So, but we must learn to move with the word of the Lord and the revelation he gives. So the Lord wants his people to move on. Jacob went on from Bethel to Peniel. Even he typed it in a way. He moved from Bethel to Peniel, you know, which is beyond Jordan, really, you know, that means Jacob himself. And it was at Peniel that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord 20 years later when he left Bethel and came back. So let me get that one also in Genesis 32, you know. So even himself, he had, you know, a spiritual advancement, you know, a revelation of God and so on. That second of Genesis 26 verse. And he said, you know the story there, let me go, for the day breaketh. No, you know when Esau was coming, his brother was coming for a revenge, right, with 400 men of war, right? So, but this man made a spiritual advancement past 20 years, he moved forward, and for the day breaketh, and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Amen. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. See? And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, what is thy name? And he said, wherefore is it that thou, dost act after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. See, he has moved on now from Bethel 20 years earlier. Now it's Peniel. What's in Peniel? For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Praise the Lord. Spiritual advancement, right? I believe it's a promotion, spiritual promotion, advancement. At the beginning, 20 years earlier, he saw the angels of God, right? At Peniel, 20 years later, he saw God face to face, God in theophany. Praise the Lord. All happened right there, see? Now, not only that, he has his name changed to Israel, right? And he typed us in so many, you and I, we don't have a new name, amen? Praise the Lord. He changed Peter from Simon to Peter. He changed Abraham to Abraham. Sarai, Sarai to Sarah. So, all around that, you know, the letter of God of different age, right? You know, so even when Jacob started it there, you know, he went from Bethel to Peniel. So, you see, seeing God face to face. We are going to see him face to face too, amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Anyway, so let's go on to our story of Elijah, his translation. So anyway, Bethel was the home of many of the sons of the prophets, as we know. These men knew that Elijah was going to be translated. But they were counted to tarry as Bethel. Let's see them in 2 Kings 2:3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, right? And said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Just hold your peace, he said. You know, well, perhaps, maybe Elijah said to him, it will be wise for Elisha too, to say at Bethel, you know, because there's a long journey ahead that the Lord will send me and so on. Elisha advised him to wait at Bethel too, if you want to, while he went on to Jericho. That is in 2 Kings 2:4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, that was Elijah said, and as thou so livest, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. So, and men with only a better vision had better remain as better, you know. With the sons of the prophet, but not Elijah, you know, not Elijah, that's a mission, right? I say the men, you know, with only a better vision, remain as better. With the sons of the prophet. But Elijah will hear none of those things at all, you know. Wherever Elijah went, so Elijah followed him. Praise the Lord. You know, because he knew that man had, and he's been with him for a while, you know, he had just said the Lord, right? That is the whole purpose and so on. So, yeah, on they go to Jericho, went to Jericho, right? And every place has a message to it, right? Better has a message to it. So Jericho too, we have a message to it, right? And we all know Jericho in the Bible, as far as we know, was the city of the court, right? So we can see it in Joshua, the 6th chapter, and 26th verse. And Joshua adjudged them at that time, saying, cause be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Did it come to pass? Absolutely. The prophecy came to pass in the days of Elijah, the prophet. See? And Jericho was in his path, right? As he was ready for the translation. Jericho had been rebuilt at the beginning of Elijah's ministry, in the days of Ahab. And, you know, upon the builder had come a curse. That is in 1 Kings 16, exactly as Joshua, the man of God, said, verse 33 says, and Ahab made a groove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. 34th verse says, in his days did hear the bestseller build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Joshua the son of Nun. God's word will never fail. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's word will never fail. You know, whatever the Lord said, you know, by the mouth of the prophet, came to pass right there. So the Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word will not pass away. Anyway, so why should Elijah and Elisha go to the city of a curse? Why? You know, that's the Lord's compassion, right? Only those who have a vision of a lost world have a ministry at Jericho. See? The Lord is compassionate, right? And later, when the spirit of Elijah will come up on Elisha, he will remove the curse of that city as we learn. So those who have the vision for the Lord are those who go to Jericho. That is the spiritual lesson we are learning there. The bitter water will be made sweet again under Elijah the prophet, and the land productive. That is in 2 Kings 2:18. Let's read that quickly, you know. So, you know, the land was cursed. Anyway, verse 18 of 2 Kings 2. And when they came again to him, for he tarried, these are the sons of the prophets, right? He already told them, Elijah was gone at that time, right? And they want to raise up a search party. He told them not to go, they translated to heaven. That will repeat again at the last time, when the church is translated, the first fruit of the New Testament is translated, people will set up a search party. It happened in the days of Enoch, right? Bible says that Genesis 5:24, it was not found, right? There was a search party for him, right? That's why they were not found. The same thing with Elijah. So they are all talking what will happen in these last days. When the church is translated, the first fruit rapture is gone. There will be search party also. Anyway, so we see right here. I'm back into verse 19 now. So he told them not to go and search, but they went. Anyway, verse 19 says, and the men of the city sent unto Elisha. We are talking of how he made that water to be sweet again and removed the curse and away from the land. That's what I'm talking about right now. You know, and the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth. But look at the problem. But the water is not and a grand barren. It was a cursed land, right? And he said, bring me a new cruse and put some salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast his salt in there and said, thus hear the Lord, I have healed this water. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. And the Bible says, so the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So you see, that's why they call, you know, show a vision of the lost. That's what Jericho means. It's a cursed city and so forth. And but those who have the vision of the lost world, yeah, they go to Jericho to do what? Not to become partaker of the curse, but to, by the grace of God, remove the curse and see bless the people. Someday, prophesy, the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, will pass through Jericho itself and remove the spiritual curse upon it. And he did. When he will come, meaning the Lord Jesus, which he did, the sinful will be saved. And the blind receive their sight. So the physical curse was removed in the days of Elijah the prophet. And the spiritual curse was removed by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a fascinating story about that in Luke chapter 19, the first verse, concerning a man called Zacchaeus. Let's read briefly. Talking about the dog we passed through there, remove the spiritual curse, we heal and forgive sins, you know, spiritually speaking, in Luke 19, the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. See? And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, the Bible says. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. So much crowd, right? Multitude followed the Lord, right, as he went through those lands and so on, because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up onto a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make it, and come down, for today I must abide at the house. And you know the Pharisees and all these things and so on, how they accuse the Lord and things like that, you know. And of course, in the Bible, reading everything, somehow, I don't see the Lord preaching to him, but he had sin conviction, was convicted of his sins, right? When the Lord was there, he said, Lord, you know what? I give a tenth of my, you know, of my wealth to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anybody, I will return it fourfold. Teaching restitution in there, right? A forgotten truth in the Bible, isn't it? You know, forgotten truth, right? I don't know if God preached to him, but God convicted of sin. Yeah, you know. And he said, I will return it fourfold if I take anything wrongfully. He was the hardest man of that day, publican and so on. Anyway, verse 9, what is it? Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So you see, the Lord passed through that place, the same court place, removed the spiritual court, healed the sick in there, and forgive sinners, you know, like Zacchaeus, you know, right there. So anyway, like our Savior, those who will fulfill the ministry of deliverance must go to Jericho, see, spiritually speaking, right? And they will set men free from the curse of sin and sickness. So both Elijah and Elisha passed on to Jericho according to the word of the Lord here. Now Elisha, we're talking about different things, where his top on his way to be translated, and they all have a message to it. We saw the message of Giga, we saw the message of of Bethel, had a message in Jericho, as we just thought. Now, next part of the story is Jordan. Now, Elisha had now been long on this journey, as they were going and so on. Maybe they didn't need a rest, right? And maybe, you know, because, you know, a rest was, you know, maybe they should take a rest. Not Elijah, though. But Elisha would not tarry at all in Jericho longer than necessary. Yeah, he passed there, but Elijah won't stay there for too long, right? Need to move on, because the word of the Lord has come to him. So he moved forward. And God's word is always calling Eli to move forward. In our spiritual walk with the Lord, we have to move forward. See? And he must also go to Jordan in 2 Kings 2:6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee there. For the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as the two liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. So Elisha went on to Jordan. Elisha also followed him and so on. Well, what's the lesson here? Jordan, as many Bible readers know, is a symbol of death. And we know, even in Christendom, see, many people, you know, they don't want to experience death, meaning death to self, death to the flesh, death to self-life, death to personal ambition. They don't want to do that. Even many Christians and so on, that, you know, and Jordan signifies death, right? So, but a Christian, Elijah says, sir, but be ready. He said, I was talking to you this morning and so on, that, you know, talking of Elisha and so on. But the bridge behind him, right? You know? So anyway, so Jordan means death. Death to the flesh, death to self-life, and death to personal ambition. The Lord said in one place, except the man hates his father and his mother and his children, can't be my disciple, right? You know? Not like, you know, I mean, you know, in other words, you have to put the Lord first. Before our father, before our mother, before our children, you have to be first. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so ambition, death to flesh, to the death of the flesh, death to self-life, death to personal ambition, and so on, that, you know. So this is necessary for the resurrection life of Christ to be really fully manifested in our life. The great apostle himself, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection after so many years of service to the Lord, apostle Paul and so on, who has even brought a bridge behind him and so on, was he saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See? So, and that is what the church should be looking on, you know, and even these last days too and so on, that, you know. So we see that idea. So many Christians, they don't want to die to self. They want to have it their way and see, serving the Lord. See, doesn't work that way. The sons of the prophets lived in Jericho. As you know, they were in Bethel. They lived in Jericho too. But they did not go on to Jordan. They didn't go to Jordan. No, they didn't go. They call it 2 Kings 2:5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, which I read before, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the matter from thy head today? And he said, no, I know it. Just keep your mouth. Just hold your peace. Now, what verse 7 says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. That's why they just said that they couldn't go there. They don't go to Jordan, like I'm saying, you know, these sons of the prophets and so on. Though these 50 sons of the prophets came halfway. They don't want to go all the way with the Lord, right? They just went halfway and still out there, you know. And, but they stuck and viewed afar off. See? Those who become Elijah's sins, those who with the power of Elijah must be willing to go all the way to Jordan. Amen? Self, I mean, crucify self and so on, you know. Mortifying the flesh, right? That's what the Bible says in the New Testament, right? Mortify the deeds of the flesh, right? You know, that the Holy Ghost might have his way in our life and so on, you know. So crossing the Jordan seemed a hard thing when Elijah got there, but it only appeared hard to men. But the man of God, because he had the voice of God, what did he do? Elijah just took his mantle, that is in verse 8, took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they both went over on dry ground. That Jordan has seen many passes, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, like without even going there. So Elisha had followed Elijah through the Jordan. He did. He had proved himself to Elisha, to Elijah, that he was a man to resist his mantle, you know. So far so good, you know. Now Elijah turned to his successor and said in verse 9, 2 Kings 2, 9. Ask what I shall do for thee. He has proven him now. He has passed the test so far, right? Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for popularity. He didn't ask for anything. Anyway, don't say he left behind since Elijah called him, right? So that's nothing to him. He only wants the spirit of the Lord. I think he has learned all this year that he lacks nothing, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added, right? So we know. Elijah did not have to think so much of how to answer that question. He has waited a long time for this moment. Anyway, he has slain the oxen, like I said before, and burned the bridges behind him. He did. Long ago, he had bade his parents goodbye and started on a journey to the world. It's like leaving the known for the unknown. This man has so many oxen, has so many, oxen that he was doing and so that, he left it all, he must have known about Elijah. I think he must have known him when they caught fire down from heaven, So he left everything and he followed Elijah. With Elijah, he had faced the wicked king Ahab. Elijah had two servants, right? One was a fair weather friend and servant, right? When on Mount Carmel, Mount Carmel showed that and written that, when he was to bring back the rain, many times, go and sit by the sea, maybe if you can see any clouds. I don't see anything. Six times, he didn't see nothing, right? And the last time, maybe he said, I saw a little like a man's arm. The man of God said, that is good enough for me, amen. The rain is, the abundance of rain, praise the Lord. Anyway, but this time around, it was a fair weather one. In the persecution of Ahab, he was nowhere to be found. He was gone. But Elijah stayed throughout the ordeal with the man of God, right? What a great lesson that was. I'm still about to know. Anyway, followed Elijah to Giga. He was there, to face the wicked Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel and so on. Pronouncing judgment on both of them. Elisha was there all that time. He had followed Elijah to Giga, like we read, to Bethel, to Jericho, to Jordan, and then on to the other side of Jordan. So now at last, what happened? The question that he had been waiting for all these years was now asking. The answer came without any hesitation in verse 9. I pray thee, let a double portion of that spirit be upon me, he said. That was all that he needed. That was all Elisha wanted. Nothing else, And there was still one more test for him, though. The last test, that Elisha must pass before the desire of his heart. We met. That test was mentioned in the next verse, 2 Kings 2:10. Thou hast, even Elijah acknowledged, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, that is the test now. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So the last test now, will he pass it? Of course he did. So if he saw Elijah when he went up, then a double portion of Elijah's spirit will be upon him. If not, then it will not be, according to the word of Elijah and so on. So far now he has passed every test, right, successfully. But this one, he dare not say it now, because it's the last one, So, not for an instant, when he heard that, not for an instant did Elijah's eyes leave Elijah. Not for one moment at all, Don't forget, there is a scenery around, maybe beautiful thing around Jordan. Jordan, I think it is Jordan Valley, very, very beautiful place around. He didn't let any of those things catch his eyes, right? He keeps his eyes fixed upon Elijah, and he kept on in the conversation. The sons of the prophets, anyway, had gathered to watch in a distance. It would be a temptation to even turn and be looking around them, right? He didn't care about those sons of the prophets at all. He just fixed his eyes off. They were watching afar off, right? They couldn't go any further. They're just professors of religion, right? They couldn't go. They're just standing aloof, afar off. I didn't look at them at all. Or even think what they were doing. He fixed his eye upon Elijah. It turns out that in Genesis 19, it's not far from there. We had lost wife, look backward and turn to a pillar of salt. The same area, not far from there, as we look at the geography of that area and so on. Not far from there, it's just this and so on. That's where in Genesis 19, we had lost wife, look back and touch a pillar of salt. So anyway, so we see that here. So on every side, there were historic spores that might distract Elisha from looking at Elijah in that last moment. So he might have failed the test, but he had no eyes for any of those things, but Elijah alone. That's where he put his eyes all the while, every moment and so on. Never for a moment would he let him go out of his sight, you know. Then suddenly something happened, you know. When you wait enough upon the Lord, you're going to be blessed. Suddenly, in verse 11, something happened right there, 2 Kings 2:11, and it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, rent them into two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah, he got it, you know, that fell from him, yeah? And went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the water, the parted pillar and Peter, and Elijah went over. And verse 15, the last verse I want to read here. And when the sons of the prophets, see, they stood afar off, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You know, so anyway, so talking about the translation of Elijah and the lessons at every place where his talk has some relevance for the church today. What was the purpose of this last test for Elisha? What was it? Why was it necessary for Elijah to see Elijah as he went up? What is the lesson here? What do we learn from the Testament lectures and so on? It turned out that Elijah was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth and walked with the sons of men, didn't he? Then came the day when he was to be taken up to, you know, and parted from the midst of them. But he told them also that if he went away, you know, he will send the comforter to the church, you know, meaning the Holy Spirit, right, to be with them. That is in John 14:16, the lesson we have learned, how he patterned the Lord and the church. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and you know, shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He will abide with us forever, amen. He doesn't come and go, amen. Praise the Lord. With you always and so on, that you know forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's the same Christ, right? He was dwelling with them. I will be in you, and it's in us today, is what has known they are true. Praise the Lord. Amen. So now look at verse 26 of that same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost could not come at all, you know, on the disciples until the Lord went to heaven. Like John 16, verse 7 says, he told them categorically, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. We are talking about why is it necessary for for Elijah to have seen Elijah go to heaven, to receive the double portion and so on. So the disciples could believe this, and they did, that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. If they could see him ascend to heaven, and sitting at the right hand of the Father, then they will receive the Holy Ghost. And just like Elijah to see Elijah go up, right? The same thing. It was just a type, that we saw in there. So that's exactly what happened and so on. In Acts, which I'm not going to read that one, the Bible says they ascend to heaven, they look straight into heaven and so on, And they get a commandment to go and tarry, that the Holy Ghost will come. So what a great lesson is this, right? That the Lord taught us through all these prophets and so on. So, of course, when the Holy Ghost comes, just like Elijah, he did twice as many miracles as Elijah, if you can say them, twice as many miracles as Elijah did, And people always think that Elijah was a superman. But the Bible says that he was a man of like passion. Amen? Praise the Lord. Was a man of like passion. And the disciples, we are told too, the same like Elijah, the Lord told us in John 14:12, when the Holy Ghost comes to us, what will happen? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Just Elijah did what Elijah did, and double of that, right? And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. See? God is good. Only if our eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the eyes of Elijah were on Elijah, may we have the double anointing and portion of his Spirit. These are the lessons from here right now. Only as we keep our eyes on him at all times shall we be successful. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith. Bible says so. We dare not carry as better, spiritually speaking, not even at Jericho, when we have minister to the to the sinner or whatever, we don't stay there. We dare not play it safe as did the sons of the prophets. No playing safe here. We must go on beyond Jordan. Go beyond self. Go beyond our personal ambition and something that we must have no eyes for any but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is the secret. And so on. Our conversation and thought must be on him. One scripture says our conversation is in heaven. For when we look for the Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, our thinking, our thoughts must be centered on him. Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be, right? So let's if I our treasure is in heaven. So that's where our heart is always. So then we have the double portion. If it's a type that they know that Elijah have, if we want to, then shall we return with the ministry of the supernatural and bless that which is caused, and something like that, like Elijah did. Then shall we have a ministry of deliverance as Elijah had. Then shall we, that's if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God, then shall we heal the sick too. He even told us, recover the leper, even raise the dead. And provide bread for the famine-stricken people. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we too, like Elijah, shall be caught up, this time to meet the Lord in the here, like we read before, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the last statement, talking of this Elijah, and say wasn't a superman, just a man of God, I would say was a man of like passion. The last statement of the Old Testament says that Elijah will come again. That's in Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the father to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Let I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's the reason I'm saying this, because he has a parallel to the first fruit rapture too. That's why I'm talking about him right now on this area that he will come again, some will say, Elijah definitely came, he came already the call we saw him on the matter of transfiguration with Moses and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. God loved the spirit of that man in such a way that so many times, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, right? He did. Malachi said he will come again and so forth, that, you know. So, like I said, so now, but we know, not only that, the Bible says that in Revelation 11, there will be two witnesses come and so on. And we believe by the word of God, by the means of these two witnesses, that Elijah is one of them. It's that we all know here, so I won't go over that and so on. So it's coming again and go to, witness and expose the Antichrist and so on in these last days that we are talking about. One, the true Jew and so on, not to say about the mark and the diabolical plan of the beast, he's going to do it. So it's coming again. So where am I going with that? So Enoch prophesied that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, right? So Elijah went and come back, right? We are coming back again after the action with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? It's another time. Praise the Lord. Now in Jude 1:14, and Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesied of this thing, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. We will come with the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture. The rapture is the second coming of Christ to us, to the elect of God. The rapture is the second coming of Christ. And the world knows nothing about it. It doesn't even touch the ground, And the third coming will come with him at that time, according to the scripture and so on. So let me finish by these two scriptures here, wrap up this morning. So again, what about Enoch? Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, and God was giving us the secret of how to qualify for the translation, amen? It's not by Superman or anything like that. What he had faith. And Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? By faith, we can move any kind of a mountain. Praise the Lord. And also, in Hebrews, you are wondering, how am I going to please God and so on? You can't by yourself really please God. All is embedded in... Last Sunday, we talked about the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The way to really please God is to abide in Christ. Let me show you the last which I want to read here is this. If you are afraid, I'm going to please God, with all my faults and everything like that, but we know. So let's see what happened in Hebrews 13:20. I love this verse. So if you are wondering or having trouble how to please God, it's abiding in Christ. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You can't please God without anything. Rather. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Last Sunday I said, none of us is perfect, right? This is the only way to be perfect. Praise the Lord. This is the only way to be perfect. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Yes, that's right. The Lord himself make you perfect in every good work to do his will. See? He make you to do his will. Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. How? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. His submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, not any other way. So praise the Lord. Perfection comes through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the Lord himself make us perfect. David writing in Psalm 138, even said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you and I. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bible says, did not move away from the hope of the gospel. One of the crowning jewels, of the hope of the church, is the translation of the first fruits. Even Apostle Paul, the Bible says, he did all he could. He said, he labored and so on, that he may be in that first fruit rapture. So, even I ask us now, upon whom the end of the world has come. So, therefore, we thank God. We talk about this thing all this time. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. I count us worthy, the Lord, to escape. Lord, the Bible says, a time of trouble. As I remember, this is the world began. And as it is not a time again when it is all over with, he said, watch it therefore and pray always. And you may escape this thing. And to stand before the Son of Man, that is the rapture. Grant it unto us, Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So we thank you for that. Rely and abide. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, You will ask what you will, including being the rapture, right? And it shall be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you, Father. So we commit right now everything we have laid up right in your hands at this hour, Lord, for the new week, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are with us always. Help us to acknowledge, to discern the Lord's presence. And we shall lack no good thing. God says so. No matter what it we need, it's in the atonement. In the name of the Lord. Lord, whatever we need in the atonement, is in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement. You know, supply, supernatural supply is in the atonement. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said that he came that he may have life and have this more abundantly. Never took anything from us. He came to give us life and even more abundantly. Lord, help us to accept the things to accept in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is ours. All the promises of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. Let us not be like the sons of the prophets. Let us go all the way, Lord, for all God's promises. And say, God says so, I believe it, it is mine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Not to stop by the wayside or what kind of a revelation, just get stuck somewhere. Always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for a fresh anointing. Say, you know, say, do you feel with the Spirit? In the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We claim in Jesus' name all that God has promised us in that word, this hour. Thank you for helping us this morning. To read your word. You must go now, Lord. Let's be expanded to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Prayer,
yes. Yes. Okay.
Amen.